You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
With me is Samantha Hartard from Four Factor SA at 91 in Cape Town, and we're going to talk about earnings revisions as a style of investing, as a pillar of an investment philosophy at 91. And Samantha, let's get back to basics first of all, if we can. What is your approach to earnings revisions and why are they so important? Why is that style so important to you?
Hi, Lindsay. Thank you. What is earnings revisions? I think in short, we're looking to invest in companies receiving positive earnings revisions that trade at a reasonable valuation. Markets are forward-looking, and today's share price is a reflection of the market's expectations of that company's future, and that includes earnings expectations. And we're looking to invest in companies where earnings have been underestimated and they start getting revised higher, and they trade at a reasonable valuation. We know that earnings are a key lead indicator to share price outperformance over the medium term. We're not looking for companies getting one-off benefits. It can't be things such as a tax break or insurance claim that could come through and flatter earnings over 1 year. We're looking for companies that are going to get multi-year positive earnings revisions, either from an operating environment that is suited to them, operating efficiencies that management teams could be putting in place, management taking decisions that could create competitive advantages, strategic advantages that will see these companies continue to receive positive revisions over the medium term.
Okay, so let me put this into layman terms now. I love examples. Let's say that Hartard Industries put out a voluntary trading update on the Stock Exchange and News Service to say it's with reasonable confidence that we expect our earnings per share and headline earnings per share to be between 10 and 12% higher over the period under review. And you look at it and you say, okay, that's fine. That's what we expected. Then 2 months later, Hartard Industries comes out with, it is with reasonable, the same Stock Exchange and News Service, a voluntary update. It's with reasonable confidence that we expect the company's headline earnings per share and earnings per share to be between 17 and 20% higher. That immediately alerts you. Is that correct?
Yes and no. So, when a company releases a trading update or their financial results, that news is then, captured into the share prices. So a company comes out and guides, as you say, 5 to 10%, some midpoint of 7.5% up. The market already knows that. And what we're looking to do, and our analyst team is looking to do, is see what the market is missing. So that obviously involves a lot of fundamental bottom-up research by our analyst team, seeing what the outlook is for the companies they're operating environments, what the management teams are doing, and we measure where our analysts' expectations are relative to consensus expectations. And that is such a key, pretty much the starting point, the key focus of where we go as a team. And if we see that our analyst is comfortably ahead of market expectations, let's say 10%, 12% above where consensus is, that's a really strong steer for us that this is a great idea. Let's have a look at what the valuation multiples are trading at the moment for this company. And that would be our bread and butter. We'd say our, earnings 101, earnings revisions 101. So trading update comes through at 7.5%. Let's say the market was expecting that stock to be growing at about 15%. I mean, of course, that would be taking very negatively. You'd see probably earnings expectations getting revised lower, the stock derating. But that also presents an opportunity. Has the market overreacted? And what does our analyst see? Could this be the bottom of a negative earnings revision cycle and the start of a positive trajectory to come? And that's where the debate takes place with our team.
Relative to consensus expectations is a very key phrase, and I've been talking about revision style of investing with you and your colleagues over the years. That's the first time it's really sunk in with me, but also the market reaction as well. I mean, if the market reacts before you can react, then of course the moment is lost. When does it and when doesn't it work? Are there economic cycles where this sort of thing doesn't work? Tell me failures and successes, or rather examples of.
Yeah, look, no investment style works all the time. We wish they would, and earnings revisions included. And for us, it is at inflection points in the economic cycle or market conditions that don't suit our investment philosophy when share prices start to decouple or become uncorrelated to what the earnings revisions profiles have done with companies. So market conditions that most suit us are upwardly trending markets, where you can see clear movements in earnings expectations, how they are changing, and therefore share prices being able to react and start to price in those changing or evolving earnings expectations over the medium term.
The investment opportunities in this style obviously go through phases, Samantha. I mean, there'll be times when there are revisions, downgrades. And that comes to my next question, which is, if you're already holding an asset, a security, and suddenly there are revisions to the downside, and it may not be just for one quarter or one half year, but for a full year, do you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to get out of this company? It doesn't just work on the upside where you want to get into the company or increase your holding. It can also mean disinvesting.
Yeah, so there are two elements to the investment philosophy. Our bread and butter is when a company is trading at a really reasonable valuation, or in fact cheap, in our minds, and is getting positive earnings revisions. That's exactly where we want to be placed. And companies that are trading at very high valuation multiples get negative earnings revisions. That's exactly where we want to avoid. The two areas where there are most debates in the companies or in the team is where you're talking to. So we've gone through a period where we've invested in a stock, it's getting strong positive earnings revisions, it was trading at a reasonable valuation at the time that we entered into it, and what inevitably happens is that the market starts to price in this positive outlook, starts to price in this growth that the market had previously underestimated. And it's at that point, let's say, you know, after a 12-month or 24-month horizon where the market's caught up to our analysts, that we then debate with ourselves, okay, have market expectations now caught up to where our analyst is trading at the moment? And therefore, should we start looking to take profits in that name? It is at those points in the cycle that we become most sensitive. And typically, yes, that's where we would start to reduce exposure and take profits on those names after a very strong re-rating, and we think that the momentum in the positive earnings trajectory is about to slow or stop. But remember, the flip side of that is also really powerful. If there's a stock that has been expensive, it's been going through a period of negative earnings revisions, my analysts turn to us and say, actually, we think this is the end of the negative revisions cycle. Mm-hmm. That can also be an equally strong steer for us to say this is a great opportunity to review and perhaps take exposure.
Final question. Actually, it's not the final question. I've got two. But the first of the final two is, you know, I spoke to one of your colleagues, I think it was Hannes Vandenberg, a few months ago, and we spoke about earnings revisions. And the podcast was crackling with optimism from his point of view. He said, we are seeing so many opportunities. Is that what you found recently?
Absolutely. And in fact, it continues. So I think you may have spoken to him in the second quarter of this year, pre the election. And what we saw post the election and the formation of, you know, the Government of National Unity, the GNU, or the GNU, as we call it internally, is that a lot of the South African Inc. names actually rallied quite strongly. So you've seen the banks up, 30%, the retailers up 30%, insurers up 30% since that GNU announcement. In our minds, that was really the market just re-rating so many of our sectors back to their long-term average PE multiples. The next leg of this cycle, and why we're still excited, is that we think that the positive earnings revisions trajectory still needs to come through, and it is being underestimated by the market. The work that our retail analysts, insurance, banks analysts have been doing are showing far greater upside to where earnings expectations are today. And so we think that this market in SA still has legs to go, despite the strong start that you've had over the last 4 months.
You've answered the second part of my final question, Samantha. Thank you very much for your analysis. And again, the optimism comes through chatting to you today. Samantha Hartard is from Four Factor SA at 91 in Cape Town. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.